From the towering Wasatch Mountains of the American Southwest, we welcome you to the next episode of Undiscovered Utah. This show focuses on the mysteries that surround the rugged, difficult, and sometimes deadly American Southwest. I'm your host, JB, and tonight I thought it would be appropriate on our 12th episode to talk about Utah's Highway 12 and possibly the best Utah family vacation itinerary ever. Let me tell you something. The absolute best road in all of Utah is known as Highway 12. Today, we are going to explain why Highway 12 is so amazing and why you need to plan a trip down this scenic byway. Highway 12 stretches from the junction of Highway 24 in Torrey, Utah, to the junction with Highway 89 just outside Panguitch, Utah. The entire route is 140 miles long and is about a 3-hour drive if you were to drive it without stopping. But driving it without stopping would be a huge mistake. For many years, my brother and I led a motorcycle riding group with some of the nicest people you could ever associate with. Oh, sure, we looked tough as nails, decked out in our leathers with our do-rags and handlebar mustaches and beards. And that was just the women. I'm kidding, of course. We were just your average wild hogs that loved to ride and see the beautiful landscapes of the great Southwest. Highway 12 was our favorite ride. Now, if you don't own a motorcycle, don't stop listening to this episode. This is a great route for any street legal vehicle. So let's start tonight's discussion in Torrey, Utah. This is one of my all-time favorite places to visit. My wife and I just love Torrey, Utah. Torrey is the gateway town to Capitol Reef National Park. Unlike most of the Utah gateway towns that are next to national parks, Torrey is still an uncrowded farming and ranching community with a few hotels, restaurants, and gift shops. It is in this small town that our trip down Highway 12 will start. But first, I highly recommend that you stay a few nights in Torrey and visit and explore Capitol Reef National Park. At some future point, we will do an entire episode of Undiscovered Utah on Capitol Reef National Park. While visiting Torrey, here are a few recommendations. For lodging, we like staying at the Capitol Reef Resort, just east of Torrey, Utah. The views of the Red Rock Cliffs are stunning. Not only do they offer nice rooms, but you can also stay in a teepee or a covered wagon. There is a restaurant on site, and they have a nice outdoor pool. There are other options at different price points, including the Broken Spur Inn, and the lodge at Red River Ranch. A visit to Torrey and Wayne County would not be complete without a stop at the Sun Glow Family Restaurant in Bicknell, Utah. Bicknell is just west of Torrey. What is it that's so special about the Sun Glow? Well, the food is good, home-style cooking, but the real treat is the pie. You have to stop in and try the pickle pie. Yep, you heard me correctly, pickle pie. I would recommend getting the Sun Glow pie sampler. This way you can try the pinto bean pie, the oatmeal pie, and the buttermilk pie. Come on, live a little. They really are a unique treat. There are other great restaurants in and around the Torrey area. Have fun and explore. When you're done in the Torrey area, continue your adventure and head south on Highway 12. You will pass some beautiful ranch lands and pastures before you start your climb into the Boulder Mountains. Your climb will take you from the red sandstone of Torrey to the white sandstone of Teasdale, into the high pine-covered Boulder Mountains. As you travel into the Boulder Mountains, there are a few viewpoints you can stop and look over Capitol Reef National Park. The Boulder Mountains are part of the Aquarius Plateau and are the highest uplift in Utah on the larger Colorado Plateau. Bluebell Peak in the Boulders is a lofty 11,328 feet above sea level. Compare this to Capitol Reef National Park at an elevation of 4,000 feet above sea level. This is why you have some great viewpoints from the Boulders. The Boulders are famous for the great fishing that is available in many small lakes scattered throughout. After crossing the Boulder Mountains, you start to descend into the town of Boulder, Utah, the last town in the continental United States to receive mail service by mule train. The town of Boulder is very beautiful, isolated, and remote, and wasn't incorporated until 1958. But this high plateau area had been called home for thousands of years. The ancient Anasazi, or ancestral Pueblo natives, lived in this area long before white men ever knew it existed. As you drive through town, make sure you stop at the Anasazi State Park. This state park has a nice museum, and you can take a walking tour of an excavated ancestral Pueblo village. This is a great stop the entire family will enjoy and is also educational. The state park is open year-round except for major holidays and is open from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. 7 days a week. There is a $10 entrance fee per family or $5 for an individual. Boulder has a few good places to stop and catch a bite. The most popular is Hell's Backbone Grill. Hell's Backbone Grill could compete with any large city restaurant, but the owners decided to run their restaurant in the most remote town in the continental U.S. Once you see how beautiful the scenery is around the town of Boulder, you will see why these two young ladies decided to set up shop here. Other options in town include the Burr Trail Grill, Mongolia's Street Food, and Hills and Hollows Market. While in Boulder, you really should plan a side trip down the Burr Trail. The Burr Trail is named after John Atlantic Burr. Mr. Burr was a stockman by trade and blazed this trail through some extremely rough country. So why take time and head down this old cattle trail in the most remote part of Utah? Because today, this is the most scenic drive in all of Utah. And that is saying something. The Burr Trail Road is paved from the town of Boulder all the way to the boundary of Capitol Reef National Park. Many travelers will turn around here and head back to Boulder. For those of you that don't mind getting a little dirty, continue on and you will come to the incredible Capitol Reef. Now, if you have listened to some of my other episodes, you should know the definition of a reef. We have talked about Silver Reef and the San Rafael Reef. The Burr Trail cuts right through the towering Capitol Reef in a series of switchbacks. If you're afraid of heights, have someone else drive this section of the road. Once you reach the bottom of the reef, you will soon come to a crossroads. If you turn to the right, the road will take you to Bullfrog, Utah at Lake Powell. This is a long, rough road that follows the base of the Henry Mountains. If, at the crossroads, you turn left, you will follow the reef all the way back to Highway 24. This is a sandy road, but absolutely stunning. Along the Burr Trail are a few camping areas, and if you do a little research, you will find some really cool undiscovered areas to explore. Make sure you have plenty of gas and water. Now let's get back to Highway 12 in the town of Boulder and continue our trip south. As soon as you leave the town of Boulder, Highway 12 becomes, hands down, the best motorcycle road anywhere. It's also fun in a car. Again, if you're afraid of heights, maybe you should have someone else drive this next section of the road. This section of Highway 12 is called the Hog's Back. Highway 12 was once called the Million Dollar Road to Boulder. Once you drive this section, you will know why. This section of Highway 12 was built in the 1940s by the Civilian Conservation Corps. Today, this road has the prestigious designation as an All-American Road. S-curve after S-curve after S-curve follows the Hog's Back spine, with sheer drop-offs on both sides of the road and no guardrails. Both hands on the wheel, please. After completing the Hog's Back, Highway 12 drops down into Calf Creek. Pull off the road at Calf Creek, find a parking spot, or stay the night at the campground, and then start one of the best and most popular hikes in all of Utah, the hike to Calf Creek Falls. This is an 8-mile round-trip hike that follows Calf Creek through this ancient Navajo sandstone canyon and ends at an incredible lower Calf Creek Falls and pool. Along the hike, you will pass beaver pond after beaver pond, and if you keep a sharp eye out, you can even spot some ancient native rock art on the canyon walls. This trail is sandy. There is very little shade, and there are a lot of up and downs as you make your way to the falls, but don't give up. The reward at the end is astonishing and worth every step. Once you reach the falls, strip down to your swimsuit and cool off in the beautiful turquoise waters at the base of the stunning waterfall. Please be advised that some people apparently forget their bathing suit, and still, they just can't resist the urge to cool off in the water. Just know that you may see some unexpected sights once you reach the pools. Some are better than others. Pack a picnic and bring it along. There are many old cottonwood trees to sit under and enjoy a lunch in the shade. Please be aware that there is quicksand along the cliff wall on the west side of the pool. You will sink, and it is extremely difficult to pull you back out without also getting stuck. Stay in the more shallow areas to the east, and you'll be fine. After a few hours at Calf Creek, it's time to get back on the road and head towards Escalante, Utah. Another side trip to consider is a ride down the Hole in the Rock Road. This road is a dirt road in the Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument that takes you all the way down to Hole in the Rock and Lake Powell. What's that? You've never heard of Hole in the Rock? Well, sit back, because this is a crazy story. In the 1830s, members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints were looking for a place to call home. Members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints were often persecuted for their religious beliefs, as they were considered peculiar by other Christian religions. Many church members had hot tar poured over their stripped bodies, and then feathers would be applied to the hot tar as a form of humiliation. Many of their homes were burned, and many of the members of the church were shot and killed, all because of their religious beliefs were different from the other Christian religions at the time. The persecutions got so bad that Governor Lilburn Boggs of Missouri issued an executive order, Order 44, on October 27, 1838. No, the executive order was not created to help protect the members of this small but growing religion. The executive order of Governor Boggs stated that the Mormons must be treated as enemies and must be exterminated or driven from the state. This extermination order gave the state militia the ability to violently expel members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from their homes and lands. This, along with the persecution of other states, drove the members of the church to the West and out of the United States of America. In 1847, members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints started to arrive and settle in the high desert of the Salt Lake Valley. Not long after the settlement of the Salt Lake Valley, expeditions were sent out to look for other areas that could be settled. In 1879, the San Juan expedition of the church was sent out to look for a route from Cedar City to Fort Bluff in the southeastern part of the state. In between Cedar City and Bluff Fort was a very difficult landscape we call the Colorado Plateau. The Colorado Plateau makes for some beautiful landscapes, but very difficult landscapes to cross in a wagon. Now, these pioneers had crossed the Nebraska and Wyoming plains and crossed the great Rocky Mountains. Prior to leaving Missouri and Illinois, they had family and friends killed. They had been tarred and feathered, had their homes and lands burned or stolen from them, and many family members died due to cholera, exposure, and starvation while crossing the plains. Needless to say, by the time the San Juan expedition was sent out, these people were as tough as nails. There were two possible routes that were considered, but later rejected due to the length of the route. There was a much shorter route that was really quite easy until they reached the Colorado River. To cross the Colorado River, they had to cross Glen Canyon. Glen Canyon was a deep sandstone canyon cut out by the mighty Colorado River. The San Juan expedition had to find a route down the canyon, across the river, and back up the other side of the canyon. That brings us to Hole in the Rock. Hole in the Rock was a place these pioneers had to make their descent from the cliff face of Glen Canyon. The expedition worked for months to make a path. They used blasting powder to widen the upper section of the Hole of the Rock. Further down, the expedition had to use hand chisels to cut away the rock as blasting powder had become too dangerous. From the top of the canyon to the river was about 1,200 feet almost straight down. The San Juan expedition consisted of 250 men, women, and children, 1,000 head of cattle, and 83 full-sized wagons. On January 26, 1880, the San Juan expedition started their descent down the Hole in the Rock. The descent was grueling for everyone. Oxen and men were used to lower the heavy wagons. Horses and cows had to be hobbled so that they could crawl down the slick rock sandstone. As difficult as the descent was, the climb out the other side of the river was much worse. If you decide to take this side trip off Highway 12 and go see Hole in the Rock yourself, There are a few things you need to know. The road today follows closely to the original route of the 1879 expedition. The dirt road is about 60 miles one way and is highly recommended. You have a high-clearance 4x4 vehicle. After heavy rains, the road can become washed out. Near the end of the road, you will be doing some rock crawling to reach the hole in the rock. You will pass a few great stops along the way, like Devil's Garden, Peekaboo Gulch, Spooky Gulch, and Dance Hall Rock. There is no cell coverage in this remote country. Be prepared for anything. The town of Escalante on Highway 12 is a fun little town to spend the night or two as you explore the area. Just outside the town of Escalante is the Escalante Petrified Forest State Park. This state park includes the wide hollow reservoir where you can rent water toys such as paddle boards, kayaks, and canoes, the wide hollow campground, and the Petrified Forest. This is another great stop for the whole family. There is a short hiking trail through the Petrified Forest where you can see huge pieces of very colorful petrified wood. You should only take pictures of the petrified wood because the wood is cursed. If you feel like you need to add a piece of this petrified wood to your personal collection, I would think again. The curse haunts any person who takes the petrified wood from this location. But don't let the curse scare you away. As long as you don't take the petrified wood, you'll be fine. Let's continue our journey down Highway 12 towards the town of Henryville, Utah. Continue through Henryville until you come to the town of Cannonville. If you turn left on Main Street in Cannonville, this road will lead you to one of my favorite state parks in Utah. From Highway 12, it is 16 miles on a nice paved road all the way to Kodachrome Basin State Park. This place is just awesome. There is a very nice campground with walking and hiking trails everywhere through monolithic sandstone pillars, 67 monolithic sandstone pillars to be exact. You can go horseback riding, ride mountain bike trails, and you really need to go see Grosvenor's Arch. This double arch is one of the best arches in the entire state of Utah. And if that's not enough, off in the distance is Bryce Canyon National Park as a backdrop. Speaking of Bryce Canyon National Park area, that would be our next stop along Highway 12. Just a few miles past the town of Tropic, Utah, is a pullout along Highway 12 for Mossy Cave Trailhead. This trail is just outside the national park boundaries and is a great short hike for the whole family and will give you a little taste of what Bryce Canyon will be like. Where Highway 12 intersects with Highway 63, turn left towards Bryce Canyon National Park. If you have never been to Bryce Canyon National Park, you are in for a real treat. There are plenty of nice hotels in the town of Bryce Canyon, including the iconic Ruby's Inn. Ruby's Inn also has a great RV park and campground. Stop in at Ruby's Inn for a meal, a helicopter ride, or trail rides around the park, and they also have a huge gift shop. At a later date, we will do an entire episode on Bryce Canyon National Park. As you leave Bryce Canyon, you turn west onto Highway 12, you will soon enter Red Canyon. Here you will drive through Red Canyon Arch. This is a must-stop photo op. It's right out of the Disney movie Cars. Some other places you can see in the Red Canyon area are Agate Hill, the Arches Trailhead, and the Thunder Mountain Trailhead. As you leave Red Canyon, your journey down Highway 12 comes to an end. What a great vacation! Of course, you can travel either direction on Highway 12. You don't have to start in Torrey. If you decide to drive from west to east, I would highly recommend listening to this episode of Undiscovered Utah backwards. If you would like more information about Highway 12 or any of our other podcasts, you can email me at info@undiscoveredutah.com. I hope you've enjoyed this episode of Undiscovered Utah. Join me next week as I share more about the Great Southwest. Good night, everybody.